Ready, now, put.
Scanning. Control. Manipulate scientific data. Take over. Blast control. World government. Shut down infrastructure. Ship everything to China. Just look at this person.
And hey, everybody, welcome to the newest episode of XFL InfoWars. And we just finished up week four and we are on to week five. And it's Dave and I sitting down looking at the media, looking at the numbers. And, it's been, I think Dave and I both agree here. It was overall a good week for the XFL, would you say?
Definitely, yes.
Obviously, we had the game in St. Louis, and that game came out at 3 a.m, so I did not get up to see it. I only caught the highlights, and I caught, like, the very end. So tell me about it. Did you watch the entire game, and what were your thoughts on it?
I saw the majority of it. I missed a little bit of the third quarter, but it was a great crowd. It was a great crowd. It was a loud crowd. St. Louis, you know, they came out to play. I thought they did a good job of controlling the line of scrimmage. As a team, they ran over 100 yards. Arlington just didn't. I don't know. It's hard. The score is 24-11. I'm not sure personally. I thought it was that close. I thought St. Louis had control of that game, and it was just a good effort. I mean, it's always good to see the home team come out and win when you have a big crowd.
Right.
So many times in sports, when the home team has a big crowd in a minor league level, not so much the NFL, yeah, but in a minor league level, it's good to see that crowd really push them. And you can tell that they were ready for that game.
The crowd
came out. They were all dressed. They had the clothes, the attire. And it was great to see. Obviously by far the best crowd, the XFL, but it was loud. It was good.
Yeah. And it was, you know, everybody was, the XFL was completely counting on St. Louis this week, and really St. Louis came through. Mm-hmm. You know, there was 38,000 for mm-hmm. the game or something thereabouts. And, with 38,000, I mean, really realistically, that's about half the stadium being filled, but mm-hmm. for the XFL, at least with the way the season's gone up to now, that's been the best crowd, obviously, of the year. And of course, there was some controversy about that count when Dwayne Johnson put out the largest crowd ever to see a spring game. And all of us old guys who are US, listen, we're all of us old guys, when it comes to spring football, nobody can replace the first USFL. Mm-hmm. And I'm jumping on it. I know others were jumping on it. And, you know, obviously the largest crowd ever to see a US spring football game occurred in Jacksonville. I think about 75,000 at the old Gator Bowl. So right there, that was enough to spin up quite a few people on social media, both on Facebook and on Twitter. And I'll be upfront. You see my Twitter feed all the time. I am not afraid to troll. I'm not afraid to do a meme to call people out on stuff, going, okay, yes, it was a great crowd. Don't make it more than what it was. Sell it for what it was. Because then there was also the issue, was it the largest XFL crowd either? And then people started digging down in the numbers. And if I remember correctly, when the numbers were finally crunched, it was the largest XFL game crowd up to now through all the versions. So I just thought that was, it's just social media can be funny.
Well, and exactly. And the thing, I mean, a couple of things that bothered me from that was they announced it was a sellout. I don't know, did you see that where St. Louis, yeah. And it's like, I get it. It's a big crowd. But you, and then they, and then once they announced the sellout, then they had to come out and said it's a sellout based on these, based on the tickets that were available to be purchased.
Right.
I mean, you, every XFL game is a sellout under that model, because once the game starts, you start selling. So all the sellable seats are sold.
And then, of course, you know, I mean, we live in an age now, and we even lived in an age back then before the smartphone, where all it took is one picture to dispel any hyperbolic statements, and all over, hey, great crowd. But then you see a whole empty from the perspective of the person taking the picture. You see one half the stadium all empty, and it's like, okay. And to me, I'm like, I know everybody's excited. I know there are hardcore XFL fans. And really, to quote Mulder, I want, you know, they want to believe. I get that. But then I'm seeing what, you know, The Rock is putting out, going, all right, this is, you know, I mean, I understand you want to sell tickets. You want to get people excited. You want to sell your energy drink and your tequila. That's a whole nother issue there, which I've always had issues with when it comes to how this league is structured and how it's presented to, you know, to people. But yeah, it was a great crowd. Appreciate it for what it was, but don't oversell it. But yeah. Okay. So you sold out of all the tickets that you had, but the stadium itself was not sold out. Hopefully it will be sold out. You know, I mean, that's kind of, Hopefully, they play at home this weekend, correct, too, I believe.
Yep.
And so hopefully it will. Hopefully we get to the point where St. Louis actually sells out the entire stadium. Yeah. So a crowd of 60,000, and I forget what the capacity is there. I've never been down there. I've always wanted to go. But, that would be great for the league. But then you run into the issue, and this is for those of us who – appreciate sports history, appreciate football history, I always reference back to the All-American Football Conference back in the 40s, when you had the Browns and the 49ers being the top teams in that league. And they had great teams, they had great attendance, but there were six other teams that were garbage that couldn't sell out anything. And I kind of seeing that right now with the defenders, the Brahmas and the Battlehawks being the top teams in terms of attendance. But then you also have to throw Houston in the mix, where, you know, Houston's undefeated and, you know, but their crowds have not been the greatest.
No, I mean, and the XFL needs to celebrate St. Louis. I mean, the other three games this weekend, you add their attendance up and it didn't get to 38,000.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, you can spin it. I know they talked about – we've all read the way they positioned all that, but
– yeah.
You got to take your wins.
But ultimately, and this is what it gets down to for me, bottom line is, yes, your attendance numbers were up. Okay, that's great. And we know why they were, because of St. Louis. That's fine. I can accept that number for what it is. Definitely. It's kind of dealing with the CFL. You know, the CFL and their attendance, and, you know, it's like, oh, it was free beer night, like in Edmonton. Edmonton one year got like 40,000 in the stadium because the entire beer patio was sold out. Okay, well, that's great. But, you know, if you really want people to really start coming back to this league, you got to keep doing that for every game, because that's how you bring people in. So hopefully whatever St. Louis is doing, the other cities will sure to follow. But with that said, I just don't see Orlando or Vegas being in the league next. Or I don't. The future of the XFL in Orlando and Las Vegas is not bright right now. Just based upon, not only based upon their records, but also just based upon, you know, the lack of people going to those games.
Yeah, and I would say, even though Orlando's playing in the old Citrus Bowl, I think Orlando, I think obviously Vegas needs a better situation, but I think Orlando needs a smaller place. I mean, it's called Camping World is huge.
Right.
And I don't know what that, they probably won't be able to get into where the MLS and the and NWSL teams play, because it's a 20, they need to get down in something more manageable in size.
Well, could they go to a college stadium down there? Isn't UCF right down not too far away.
I think, do they play there? Does UCF play at there? I mean, I don't remember offhand, but if they could, if Orlando, it's just such a large place.
Right.
If they could find somewhere, is it, we talked about DC, how just a perfect dead situation is with the size wise, if they can get into something more manageable on appearance, I think that will help.
Yeah.
I mean, even if Orlando got 20,000 people in that stadium, it's so big. It's just hard to make it look good.
Yeah. And then the other thing too, is I don't think, isn't like reconstruction going on one side of the stadium, because one side of the stadium, you don't see anybody in the stands.
They just might be doing that to sell the camera side.
Okay. Yeah. No, I was just like, okay, where, but it looked to me, it just kind of, I got the feel, it's like there's got to be a reason other than football that one side of the state. And that's one of those things I'll have to look into for the next show just to see. You know, it's one of those things I kind of learn as I go along. So some of these questions that I have, it's like, oh, then I'll say something like, oh, I should have known that before I hit the record button.
Well, that's the fun part. I was in ticketing for sports for 20 years, and I can navigate a good Ticketmaster website and figure out what teams are doing. And you can look at a map and see, if you're looking and you see like a row of tickets sold, then one or two rows open, then another seat, then another row of tickets gone, you can tell they're moving availability around to fill in gaps and spread out the crowd, or donate tickets, or use it for sponsors, whatever the case may be. You can get a good idea on looking at those, where what a team is looking at in attendance. And if you're really bored, you can blow that thing up and you actually count every ticket that's sold if you really have that much time on your hands.
And that's why it's talking with you. I mean, when we sit down, we started talking about a lot of this stuff. It's like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know. It's like when I, you know, with the sports history on the Sports History Network, when I sit down, every time I've sat down with somebody, including like with Joe Zimba yesterday, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. I learned yesterday that the Bears and George Halas had his own little network going with the Bears. And I might have read about that in passing, but I completely forgot about it. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. So, yeah, I'm actually looking here to see if there is actually construction going on. So it looks like some type of work's being done on it. But yeah, but going back to what you said, yeah, they need to get into a smaller stadium, because it's just too big. It's kind of like, you know, remember way back with the USFL, when the LA Express played in the Memorial Coliseum. I mean, there was 10,000 people there, but you felt like you could literally count them all in the seats because that stadium is just so huge. So with that said, so then we've got the Roughnecks. They're still undefeated. They have yet to lose a game, either in version 2 or version 3. And Houston to me has always been a good football town, but that's another issue too. Stadium wise, they're just not drawing people. Now, I think the rodeo was in town last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But then the question is, then with the, are the gam are, so is the USFL coming to Houston this year? Are they playing in Houston, or are the Gamblers playing like over in Alabama and Birmingham?
Of course you caught it. And I'm
sorry, man.
No, there's four hubs.
Yeah.
There's a Canton hub, Detroit, Birmingham, and of course now I'm drawing a blank on the other one.
Oh, that's okay. I will look it up here.
Houston's not, they're not playing in Houston. Okay.
So the Roughnecks have another year to the city to themselves, at least. So yeah. Yeah, but they've been doing, I mean, on the field, I mean, they are my favorite team. I do like the Roughnecks. I like their homage to the Oilers. I still am pissed about the NFL completely suing them, going after them on the logo, because I didn't, you know, to me, it just felt like sour grapes with the NFL. And I think it would have been nice to see the Roughnecks. It's weird because the Roughnecks have Texan colors right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking you're the Roughnecks. And again, I'm completely going off topic here, but why not put the, I mean, Columbia blue and red, That would have been perfect. And even, okay, so get rid of the logo then. If the logo is the issue, then do something, you know. But yeah. No, that just because I, you know, but again, Houston now has an NFL team. Maybe the Roughnecks would draw more, would have drawn more if there were no NFL team in Houston. Because as we've seen in St. Louis, you know, I mean, from what I heard, they were chanting Kroenke sucks throughout a good part of the game.
They did, but it that whole Kroenke sucks things. I'm like, I had to chuckle at that. I understand they're upset he moved the team. Understandable. I get it. The stadium for the NFL is outdated.
Yeah.
It just simply is. And I think it was in January, the NFL gave the okay for him to pay $571 million to the city of St. Louis as part of that settlement. So I was talking with someone over social media, and I was joking. I'm like, they can chant Kroenke sucks all they want, because if you're willing to pay $571 million to get out of somewhere, you got a pretty good deal going somewhere else. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And that money right there, I don't know what they did with the money, but I would hope that they paid back all the debt it cost to build. Cause I remember when they built that thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it goes back to what you said. It's not in this day and age when it comes to NFL stadiums, it probably would be dead last or right above Soldier Field.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not, I mean, it was a dome stadium. It was kind of like one of the last dome stadiums built of the era, if you think about it, kind of like around with the Georgia Dome.
It reminded me a lot of the RCA Dome, the old dome the Colts played in before Lucas Oil Stadium was built. But
right. Yeah. Just maybe. That era. And, you know, it's funny too, because like here in Japan, so the Tokyo Dome. So this past week, last time after we talked, so we had the World Baseball Classic being played. And so all the games here with in the Asia Pacific region, not all the games. There are also games, I believe, being played in Taiwan too. But the games here in Japan were all played at the Tokyo Dome. And the Tokyo Dome was built around 88. And it is one of those, it looks like the Metrodome. It's funny, but they're not talking about tearing that stadium down. It's still... It still serves a purpose. It's good for what it is. But I look at that stadium and going, man, there's no wonder the NFL has not come back to Japan. You know, I mean, they've got Tokyo Olympic Stadium, but with Tokyo Olympic Stadium, there's a running track around it. So I'm curious to see if and when the NFL or any other league comes back here to Japan to play. Because when it comes to stadiums and that, just, you know, I mean, but when it comes to stadiums with the XFL, yeah, I mean, they got to figure something out. And obviously Vegas, we've talked about that needs to be, I mean, that situation can easily be resolved next year. If they move to San Diego, you're done. It's easy. San Diego, you're probably going to get decent crowds because it's nice weather. Yeah, I don't think it's that bad of a drive. I mean, I've driven by the old stadium before, but again, it's San Diego. You might have some of that St. Louis effect, that NFL, the CFL Colts type of resentment where your team draws well because you want to make a statement, you know. So because do you remember the AAF was a while ago, but I think the San Diego Fleet actually drew pretty well too.
They drew okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I'm getting, you know, it's the AAF, man. It seems so long ago. So long ago. And then we've got, obviously, the DC Defenders. You know, they're top dog in their division. And with St. Louis battling them for the, you know, I think the season's going to come down to pretty much three teams. Battling I mean, look at the standings here right now.
For me, the only real matchup that's left is, can Seattle catch St. Louis?
Yeah.
With DC, I mean, it'll just be interesting to see because
yeah, because they've got, I mean, they've got the best offense. It's just not reflected in the record right now.
Yeah. And like I said, this is an odd stat that I wrote down, but Arlington is not that good of a team.
No.
And St. Louis was 25% on third downs.
Yeah.
Seattle was, now granted, San Antonio's not the best team, but Seattle was 54%. Houston was over 50% on third down. That was the one that was going through all the games. That was the one interesting stat. Even DC against Vegas was 27% again on third down. Just random numbers I wrote down. I was like, huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You're not going to win too many games when you're only converting a quarter of your third downs.
Exactly. I mean, our Arlington quarterback threw three picks in that game. So St. Louis got a lot of help. But still, I mean, you got to win the game. You got to put more points.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's going to be, we're at the midway point. So it's still, but I think we can pretty much, Vegas and Orlando are pretty much out of it.
Yeah.
So now we've got, maybe it's Sandy. San Antonio. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's going to be, but yeah, it's coming down to three teams, maybe four. But when you think Seattle, you know, you've got Seattle, you've got St. Louis and DC all in the same division. Well, unless they were doing the plan is to have two teams in each division play for the playoffs. Yep. But I don't know. I don't recall off the top of my head if there was ever any talk of a crossover.
I don't think so. At least not that I heard.
Right. Which, that's the one thing I kind of like about the CFL. It's always a talk of crossover. So I usually root for the BC Lions. They always have that crossover game, and they did 1 year. So,
the interesting thing from this Seattle San Antonio game, that the San Antonio co-offensive coordinator was relieved of his duties, but he's still coaching on the team. He's like wide receiver coach or something.
Yeah. Jamie Elizondo. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
thought that was so interesting. I'm like,
yeah. Well, it was funny because they brought him. I remember when he got hired up in Edmonton, and XFL people were just going, oh, this is great. And then he got fired there. And now he comes back. Now he gets fired again. I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's not, you know, then you start to wonder, okay, what the hell's going on? But bottom line, it's all about your record, and their record's 1-3.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this point, you know, it's like, it's kind of the tough shit rule. You know, happens on your watch, tough shit.
It's complete desperation when you elevate the running backs coach to offensive coordinator, and your this past game you got 21 yards on the ground.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think, you know, and we've got, with the schedule coming up here, let me pull it up here. Oh, hey, 503. I am XFL News Hub, if you're listening, I got a 503 service temporarily unavailable. So I am unable to check the standings I am unable to check. Yeah, still unavailable. 503 service temporarily unavailable at XFL News Hub, at least here in Japan. So, and I do not have a VPN running or anything. So who knows? Let's go to XFL Newsroom. Let's go over there. Because I want to take a look at schedule, and I had everything up here, I thought, perfectly, but apparently not. Bear with me. You know, this is what happens when we do stuff. We pay nothing for anything here, so we're doing everything on the free and the cheap. Okay, XFL Newsroom. All right.
Yeah, service. I got the same thing here. Service temporarily unavailable.
Okay, well. I'm going to save my, you know, I'll be nice. That's all I'm going to say. I'll be nice. They do try hard. They do try, you know, they love football, you know, so probably just, yeah, it's probably just a glitch in the matrix. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's see here. We've got
Houston's at Seattle tomorrow night.
That game I'll be watching, Houston. And that's going to be a good game, too. I mean, that
it is going to be a good game. I'm just, I don't know. I'm not expecting many people there.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to, because we haven't even really talked about ratings, and we'll get to ratings in a little bit. But yeah, no, I mean, if they can get 15,000, and that's a huge if on a Thursday night, okay, then I'm going to have a good vibe for attendance this week.
Yeah.
Besides St. Louis, obviously.
And he's got I'm also tired. Speaking of that, I'm also tired of people. Well, it was raining out. Well, you're not getting 5,000 people walking up going to a game. So people are buying their tickets in advance. I mean, this is Major League Sports. Like even a great minor league walk up could be 1,000 tickets for a day, and you have people lined out down the road. So
right.
the whole thing about it was raining, it was cold, people just didn't.
Well, it's almost like the XFL fans now are taking a page from CFL fans. And you know I'm a hardcore CFL fan, but the same thing kind of goes. It's like, look, just like what you said. I mean, people aren't going to the games. With the CFL, people aren't going to the games. Toronto is a great example. People aren't buying tickets for the games. And no matter how you want to spin it, how many excuses you want to give, the bottom line is people are not going to the game. Now, nobody's expecting the XFL or the CFL to be the NFL. I mean, the one thing about the XFL I do like is that tickets are reasonable. And it's very much in the vein of the Arena Football League. Tickets were reasonable. So I don't know what the answer is just to increase attendance. I mean, could it be weather? Maybe. But then when you look at Orlando, you see how few people there. Vegas, what is it, where the state? I mean, there's so many factors that come into making people say, hey, I'm going to go buy a ticket. You know, and it goes back to what I said. I mean, back, I forget how many years ago it was with Edmonton, when they had like 40,000 in Commonwealth Stadium, of which those about 20,000, I swear to God, I think were in the beer garden, because that was the promo night. And you had a lot of people there, bought tickets for cheap, got reasonably priced beer. You know, and I always say, if you really want to get people to come, you know what? You got to make your product affordable. And that's just not including what's on the field. It's also concessions, it's beer, it's, you know, it's being able to take your kid to the game and get him the shirt that he wants and not have to pay $100 for a shirt that's not going to last a year.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all, I mean, you know, so hopefully the XFL kind of, you know, I hope this XFL figures it out sooner rather than later, but you know that the folks at the USFL are taking notes.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And I'll tell you, the USFL has taken the high road in everything they've said on social media.
Oh, yeah.
I have not seen anybody connected with the league take any kind of shots or say anything. The head ticket guy for the USFL congratulated St. Louis on a great crowd. I mean, I thought that was classy.
Yeah. And everybody, and that's the thing too. I mean, I get all kind of, and you've seen it. Hey, why are you hating on the XFL? I've gotten booted for more XFL fan sites on Facebook than I can count. And everyone's like, you hate the XFL. I go, no. I've never once said I want the XFL to fail. Now, I like my memes. I think my memes are funny. Now, again, I always joke, hey, I have a Navy warfare badge in meme warfare. It's information warfare. But the point being is, listen, memes are meant to be funny, but also to convey an idea. And if you can't laugh at yourself, I mean, listen, I rip on the Packers all the time with my memes and Cowboys, but nobody in Packer land or Cowboy land is really taking, getting upset and yelling at me about it. You know, we all want spring.
The Cowboys deserve it all.
Well, that's true. Well, the Packers too, and it's the Packer fans are some of the best, and Packer fans are some of my best friends. So it's fun to, especially that half of the family that roots for the Packers, because you know what I always like to say: anytime the Packers lose or the Cowboys lose, an angel gets its wings. Yeah. So, but no, when it comes to the XFL, and I understand the fans, there's a very small, it's a very small but hardcore passionate group of XFL fans that want to see not only it succeed, but also spring football. I think we all want that, but we also have to be realistic as fans. And you and I are older and wiser and have seen enough of this stuff come and go. First off, sports is a nice distraction from the reality of the day.
Yes.
I live on the other side of the world, so I don't get quite as much news thrown at me like you probably do. I'm able to tune it out and be very selective. But when it comes to sports, when it comes to football, I mean, I'm watching the World Baseball Classic. I'm like, oh, this is kind of, you know, the Japanese are really hard behind their team. And it's just sports unite more than they divide. And, but at the same time, we got to be able to take ourselves, you know, can't take ourselves too seriously.
No,
so on Monday, when I sat down with Brett Forrest and we talked about, and that's something else we got to talk about, my interview with Brett Forrest that I did with The Long Bomb, his new book, The Long Bomb. You know, he loves spring football. He loves the concept of it. But, you know, there's also a business end of the sport that I think is really what drives us crazy. It's not the on-field product. It's, you know, these are kids out there that are busting their tail. They're trying. And we always, and people have to understand, these are kids. These kids now, I mean, you know, they're old enough to be our kids. And all these kids have a dream. They want to play football. They want to make it to the NFL, because nobody dreams. And, you know, unless you're a kid from Canada, no kid dreams of playing in the CFL. They all want to play CFL. They all want to play pro football. Ultimately to do. I'm going to, you know, good example would be Matt Dunnigan. Hey, Matt Dunnigan wanted to play in the NFL. He never got his chance. So what happened? He went to the CFL, became a legend. But was that on his dream sheet as a kid in high school? No. But that's where he made his name. So hopefully these kids who are playing in the XFL and the USFL, if they don't make it to the NFL, hopefully these kids will be legends in these leagues. And that's what you hope for. And so that's why I get frustrated when it comes to the business end. You saw me how I was when the press release about how Teremana Tequila is the official drink sponsor. Like, we needed a press release for that. I mean, I'm tired of all the problem I have with the XFL is it's all centered around the personality of one man. And we saw what happened when you center a football league around the personality of one man. And that's why we're on XFL 3.0. So that's my take on it. So anybody who's listening, you know, hopefully we are. I have never checked the stats on our podcast either. So I know people have downloaded. They are listening. So if you got an issue with me, hey, I'm at XFL America. You can also email me direct at xflinfowars@gmail.com. If you got an issue with anything I've said over the season so far, we all want, you know, and that includes the XFL news media. And I'm actually going to use air quotes on that, because that's the other issue I have too. You've got a lot of spin with XFL news media sites, and I won't name names, but I think people who are listening to this pretty much know who I'm talking about. Listen, the attendance numbers are up. But going into my wanted to talk about with the ratings. Okay, so when it comes to the ratings, the bottom line, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, if you're saying the same thing, but less people watched this last week than they did the week before. Are you reading the same numbers?
Yes.
Okay. I understand that, you know, well, it's FX and it's higher numbers on ESPN. But before we hit the record button, you told me something that I wouldn't have known because you did the research on it with ESPN versus Fox Net, the FX network.
Yeah. More households in the United States get FX than ESPN2.
Okay. So, I mean,
I was floored.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but the, and there, you know, so the numbers, at least on cable TV and satellite, are dropping. Now, what does that mean? Okay. Well, I've got a lot of football a lot of friends who are football fans that like, you know, CFL fans, you know, they're like, yeah, I'm not watching that. I got, you know, it's just, yeah. I mean, it's the XFL hasn't captured really anybody's imagination except those hardcore ones that we see on Twitter and Facebook. You know, I mean, that's the reality of it. And this weekend, we got the play-in game starting with the final, with March Madness starting tomorrow. Well, today for me, because I'm on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we got the world I mean, I'm going to throw this out because I know I'm going to be watching it. And half the country here in Japan, I know, is watching it. It's a World Baseball Classic.
That was incredible. 46% of televisions in Japan were watching.
Dude, it was.
I had to read that twice. I had to like look. I'm like, no, that can't. I'm like, holy cow.
I got, listen, it's the nice thing about sports is it transcends all languages. So with my family, my family, they're Tokyo Giants fans. So I still have not picked a team, but you know, I'm gonna be watching a lot of Giants games this year. But yeah, 46%. And listen, they had pregame on. And it's all in Japanese, but it's just nice to watch. You just watch the images, and I'm like, this is kind of nice. And then my wife and I are having this conversation. I go, yeah, there's no way this happens in the States. This only happens with football, and it only happens during the Super Bowl where you have this much attention drawn to a sporting event.
But they are selling out. Like the Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic are playing in Miami. And they sold out Marlins Park.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. Chase Field in Arizona, they're selling that. It really is incredible.
Have you ever been to Chase Field? Have you ever been to Chase Field?
I've seen pictures. I've not been there.
Ballpark.
Yeah. That's what I've
Beautiful. Heard. Yeah. Yeah. I was there once, and they opened the dome when we were there.
Oh, cool.
Awesome. We're sitting there, and I'm like looking up. I was just drinking a beer, just kind of chilling out, like, it was like that moment. It was like, almost felt like, you know, like one of those science fiction movies when the spaceship opens. That's what it felt like. So, but so you got the World Baseball Classic. You've got Final Four. You got March Madness. You got, you know, opening day is coming right around the corner. You know, we just look at, this is like the heaviest time for spring. And then at some point here, you got the USFL starting. So, these ratings, I don't know. I think we're kind of at a high point right now. I can't see ratings going up, and I hate saying that.
No, I know. I think they're going to take a hit this weekend. I mean, the NCAA tournament's a monster.
Yeah.
And being the first weekend, it's noon until midnight, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, maybe a little later, but it still goes well through prime time. Saturday and Sunday too. So, I mean, granted they clip out a bunch of teams after this first weekend, but it's not like the next weekend people aren't going to watch it, because now you have the cream of the crop and the final 60, like they're going to watch it. So it'll be interesting to see. And I understand why at one point they're putting the games on ABC, because they need to try something to go head to head with it, or at least get around the time frame and trying to get people to watch it. Because, I mean, if the like I said, we have no idea what the target is or what they were promising in shares. But if it's anything like the old XFL, that if they don't reach the target, then they had to do make good. So, obviously, moving games from FX to ESPN or ESPN to ABC, obviously there's a trail there that they need to do something. whether it's just to shake up ratings or just to give sponsors or advertisers better views on what they're paying for. We'll see. Yeah. But I mean, honestly, for me, I mean, I'm not sure for ESPN too. I thought the numbers were tremendous. I don't know what they were expecting. I mean, TV watching and viewership is so much different than 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Right.
When even on the worst scenario, the XFL was still getting a 2.2 or a 1.9. And I mean, I don't even know what 16, that, I mean, they weren't even getting a one with some of these games. So it's just,
yeah,
it's not apples and apples anymore.
I mean, how do you define this? I mean, it's really, we don't know what really, how success is going to be defined right now I mean, again, you throw in the streaming numbers, but I mean, the only thing we know about streaming, really anything that's ever been hinted, is what Randy Ambrosi said about the CFL on streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been, and they're not, the CFL is not making a whole lot of money. Apparently, I mean, we're talking in the thousands, not the millions, the thousands, based upon what he told to one reporter one time. It wasn't.
Yeah. And with streaming, it's still, you're getting a different set of commercials. You're not getting the broadcast.
Right.
You're getting the broadcast feed of the game. But I mean, 2 weeks ago, I think I watched the games on ESPN Plus. That's how I don't have.
Yeah.
I don't have FX. I don't have ESPN2. I just don't have those channels. So I watch on ESPN Plus. And it was literally the same two commercials every commercial break.
I mean,
it great exposure for those two companies, but that was it.
Yeah. And like you said too, before we started, you know, the USFL, they're going to be on streaming too with the Peacock network. And, you know, thank God, because that's the only way I can watch it, you know, watch it over here. So, I mean, with streaming, but yeah, but when it comes to network TV, it's going to be, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be, it's not knowing the streaming numbers is frustrating, but the only numbers we have are what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line on those numbers is, while ESPN numbers were higher overall, you're still seeing a drop in viewership. So, so I don't know. I mean, maybe, and the move to ABC comes this weekend, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think they were trying to go head to head with,
you know what? Yeah. Now that we're talking about it. Yeah. We've got, oops, hang on a second here. I've actually got the schedule up here right now. So let's go to week 5. All right. So yeah, ESPN. So the Thursday game's on ESPN. Saturday game. And I'm looking at the XFL site. So
me too. Yeah. So it looks like ESPN. You know what? I am really surprised that the DC St. Louis is on FX. And then Orlando and Vegas is on FX.
Right.
And then Arlington, San Antonio is on ESPN2 Sunday at 9. And I get that. Sunday Night Football does great ratings for the NFL. Yeah. So I understand. And years ago, ESPN had a much more active Sunday night presence. Obviously, NBC has taken that over completely. But the following weekend, the 25th, is Orlando's on Saturday afternoon on ABC, and then Sunday afternoon on ABC. So it's actually week 6.
Okay, all right.
So which is still, I mean, Saturday. Yeah. So I think.
Well, and that's great. But you know, the other frustrating part is too, and I'm just going to use, I think I posted this on Twitter. You remember the TV show WKRP in Cincinnati?
Oh, fantastic.
Great show. But why did it go away? Cause they kept moving the time slots and nobody, mm-hmm. you know, it didn't have a solid time. So it went away. It left before it never had a chance to jump the shark. Because the ratings fell because they kept moving it around. That's kind of how I feel with the XFL. They keep jacking with the schedule. You know, you don't know where to find stuff. You've got to look for it.
And I guess I am disappointed that the only primetime ABC game is the championship game. So the ABC games are either 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock.
Yeah. 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 It's yeah. And then also too, then you're competing directly head to head with the USFL. And how much the for the championship game, you expect to get numbers, but you're not going to get, let's face it, you're not going to get the numbers that the original USFL got mm-hmm. for its championship at all.
No.
I mean, you're not going to get, I mean, they're having it in San Antonio, which I think is a bad decision. I think it should be in St. Louis. But with that aside, yeah, you're just not going to get, I would be surprised. And that's a huge stadium. It'd be great if they could fill up that stadium and make a statement. And maybe mm-hmm. they will. Maybe they will paper the house. But yeah, I don't know. But they've got a long road to go. Mm-hmm. We're at the halfway point. And I don't think it's been a failure, but it definitely has not been a success so far. Mm-hmm. Because you think about it, we're right at that midway point where they stop playing. This is the weekend that they, this is week five. So now everybody compares it to the old league. So let's compare, we're comparing apples to apples now and really what it is. But in comparison, this is a much weaker version than the second version.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I also think it's the money you put into it.
Right.
I don't think 3.0 has nearly the capital that 1.0 or 2.0 put in, because it seemed like 1.0 Vince and NBC put in a good chunk of change.
Yeah.
And they lost, but it was a manageable loss. Number two.
Yeah, the product off the field was decent, for lack of a better terms, with visuals and everything was done. Mm-hmm. And their product on the field pretty much sucked. But that's and then for version 2.0, they had everything nailed down. It was great play, aesthetics, the feel. I mean, it was serious football. But this one, going to what you're saying, yeah, I agree.
Well, and it's tough. I mean, it's tough because of how it stopped too. So I mean, 2.0 was stopped, but it wasn't they had to stop. It wasn't something where Vince stopped funding it.
Right.
The world stopped, and it just had to. It was, the attendance was high. The attendance was definitely higher.
Yeah.
2.0 than this one.
And the ratings were better.
Yep.
Yeah. So
Vince still lost money.
Yeah. And he knew, the thing is, he was a businessman. He's always been, and he's a savvy businessman. So maybe, he could easily have just put the hiatus and just put this in the locker somewhere and then brought it out a few years later, but he didn't. So I'd be curious to see what he based that decision on, just to file bankruptcy and just move on from the whole thing. And that was, that's when I was talking with Brett Forrest, it's just fascinating how we got to where we're at now mm-hmm. with Vince McMahon, because had Vince McMahon been allowed to buy the Argos, we very likely wouldn't be talking about an XFL.
Oh, no. Or if he was allowed to buy in with the Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how things work out. Yeah. So I always say sports history, football history matters, and it really does. And yesterday, talking with Joe Zimba on from the 55 over at Sports History Network, I gave him the what if question. So let's just say Lamar Hunt was able to buy the Cardinals and move him to Dallas. How different the sports landscape would look today. And that's a huge butterfly effect. So so it'll be interesting. It's just, you and I both want to see this thing succeed, but there's just right now, hey, it's and I don't know if anybody's really talking about what we're talking about, at least in podcast form, addressing some, talking about these issues. We want to see it succeed, but we look at the numbers, and I know me, I hate spin. I got deployed to Iraq for a year because of spin ginned by the United States government about weapons of mass destruction. So yes, when I see Mike Mitchell saying, hey, these numbers are great, this, that, and the other, and you know, I think, no, that's spin. I'm seeing a bottom line number. Yes, ESPN is higher. That, I mean, we can see, but don't, I don't know. To me, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. And that's kind of my take on all, not just with him, but with others. And so before you and I went on here, and I've made a concerted effort to see what else is being said out there in the media about the XFL, besides, you know, the news sites that are branded XFL.
Mm-hmm.
And there ain't much right now. Nobody's really talking about the league.
I don't think there's not much information out there.
Yeah.
Like,
and
the XFL is only putting out there what they want, which is they'll give you an announced attendance. They'll give you a highlight package, but really there's nobody saying anything. Like, yeah. The Rock is the only one who's a mouthpiece. Danny Garcia made those one comments in regards to, paraphrasing, we don't have an expectation on crowd, but it's growing. So it's just one of those things where, the biggest story gets played over and over, and it's was I saw a picture of once again AJ McCarron going over to his kid.
Yeah.
And the article was it's a very nice article talking about how his son got to see his dad play in front of 38,000 people. And then once again, this wouldn't have been possible if he played for, like, if he kept trying to go the NFL route.
And it's great, but you can only tell that story so many times. And it's like, dude, that was like 3 weeks ago. Even the CFL has, you know, tries to generate stories each week of what comes out of play. But, you know, I mean, they got to do more other than, you know, put the Rock out there and drop in PR announcements about, you know, how Terramana is the official tequila of, you got to do more. You got to start selling. You got to start telling the stories of these kids. Yeah. And you got to be, now I know they've got their XFL, you know, their XFL today on ESPN. But it just seems to me that the league is not doing enough to promote itself the way other leagues do. And I would say the same thing too about CFL. Would need to step it up. And these smaller leagues all need to step up their game, because otherwise I think now in the media landscape we're in, they're all going to get lost in the shuffle. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot coming up on the sports schedule here pretty soon. And I forgot, we got the NFL draft coming up. And you know what? The NFL draft always, I mean, the ratings are going to be bigger for the NFL draft than they are for any XFL game.
No. USFL, anybody. Like, it doesn't matter. Anybody. Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's, people are paying attention. Nobody's paying attention to XFL. There's the hardcore fans, and God love them. Yeah. And you and I are going to watch the games, and we're going to, you know, and we'll listen to the NFL draft. I learned long ago, just pay attention around one, and after that, just keep it on in the background.
I'll get alerts from the team I follow who they pick. And that's really, like, there'll be some good stories about, they'll bring a former player up and they'll introduce draft pick. And like I say, I have no desire to sit for 3 days and watch that. It's just not for me.
I tell you what, man, the NFL, the NFL knows, I mean, they're the masters at marketing themselves, and obviously, and you know, their whole salute to service, that's a whole nother topic that rubs me the wrong way, because, you know, John McCain found out a long time ago when he was a senator what, you know, Department of Defense was paying the NFL for promotion.
Oh, yeah.
And since then, I'm like, I look at that, you know, as a veteran going, yeah, you know what? November 11th, I'm not, you know, you're using the veterans to sell sportswear. You know, so that's why I always, NFL salute to service. If you see me on Twitter, you know, November is a bad month for me anytime, especially when you, we haven't seen too many of those nowadays, but Gronk in his USAA commercials?
No.
The USA, how do you join USAA? And it's, you know, the USAA is a veterans, it caters to military veterans. And I'm like, oh dude, it's just a bad look. I mean, I retired from the military. So it's, to me, it's always been a bad look and it's rubbed it the wrong way. So
they are a prominent sponsor on ESPN Plus for the XFL.
Yeah. 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 So,
The XFL, if you look at it too, the route they went was in head coaches. They went after names and they went after to use them to tell the story. And you can see a lot of the games they've been talking to the coaches a lot. Some have been good, some have been bad. Like it's just, but that's the route they went. So I think that's where they put a lot of their eggs in the proverbial basket when it came to telling stories of players nobody know.
Right.
Or let's talk to Hines Ward. I understand the philosophy. I really truly do. But he's not gonna catch a 15-yard pass to win the game for you anymore. Hopefully, right. hopefully he's got his team prepared to do that.
They've got some bankable coaches, some good coaches, coaches ultimately it's the players. I mean, nobody goes to a game to watch a coach.
No. But they're also paying those coaches.
Right. Right.
So
right.
I mean, that's their thing. It's like they're getting that, but if what is it, XFL 2.0, we're paying coaches $500,000 a year. I can't imagine 3.0 are paying less.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're getting paid decent. The coinage are getting paid. And in the thing too, is a lot of these guys that are coaching in the XFL, you definitely can see down the road, Hines Ward being a prime example, you know, Hines Ward wants to go to the NFL at some point. He wants to be in Pittsburgh coaching the Steelers. I would assume. After Mike Tomlin leaves. So, I mean, this is, you know, and then obviously you got the situation in Orlando with the Guardians coach and, you know, it's so anyway, listen, you and I have rambled long enough. I think we've hit but close to the hour mark here. So, So for folks, hey, if you haven't dropped out by now and you want to shoot us a line, again, I'm at X, you know, the show's at XFL America on Twitter and XFL Infowars@gmail.com or XFL America@gmail.com, whichever you prefer. Tell us how much you hate us. You disagree with us, you know, think we're jerks, think we're being unfair, you know, and we're not. We're just kind of taking we're not homers. I mean, that's a thing too. Listen to the other XFL podcast, you know, there was and the old XFL show, which was the and you probably have, but that went away. Those guys were good. They were homers, but man, I enjoyed listening to them. They're gone. So I would love to hear, but that's why we're here. We just want to take an independent look and give our opinions. And hey, if you don't like it, well, then that's fine. If you don't like my memes, I really don't care. And I know Dave doesn't care. We're just two guys talking football and we all want to see the XFL and spring football succeed. But with that said, man, there's some warning signs here that if they don't, they got another 5 weeks of regular season and they're literally going in. They were in calm seas when they started. And now black clouds are starting to approach with storms, not so much of their own doing, but with just the sports schedule that's coming up. Yeah. And, you know, the USFL season is right around the corner and there's a lot of interest with that too. And, so it's going to be interesting. So you're going to hear from us for at least another 7 more weeks on a weekly basis. And after that, we'll, you know, in those final few shows, it'll be a combination XFL, USFL talk. And then we'll trans over to not only USFL, but we will therefore swap titles out. And I have no idea what the title of the show is going to be for the USFL season. I want to call it USFL InfoWars, but nah, you know, when it comes to the USFL, The USFL to me just kind of takes itself. It doesn't take itself as seriously. At least USFL fans, from what I've seen on social media, don't get wrapped around. At least the ones that I know don't get wrapped around the axle about my meat. So maybe, you know, I'll have to figure out a good title. But with the InfoWars title, listen, there's a lot of spin out there. There's a lot of, it's not even a lot of misinformation, just way too much spin. And that's what we like to do. We just like to cut through the spin and just give our honest opinion. And with that said, hey, thank you very much for listening, folks. And again, this is Greg and Dave signing off, and we will talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
It was back last October, I believe it was. We was going to hold a tent service off at this college town, and we got there about dinner time on Saturday. And different ones of us thought that we ought to get us a mouthful to eat before that we set up the tent. And so we got off of the truck and followed this little bunch of people through this small little bitty patch of woods there. And we come up on a big sign. It says, "Get something to eat here." And I went up and got me two hot dogs and a big orange drink. And before that I could take every mouthful of that food, this whole raft of people come up around me and got me to where I couldn't eat nothing, up like, and I dropped my big orange drink. I did. Well, friends, they commenced to move, and they want so much that I could do but move with them. Well, we commenced to go through all kinds of doors and gates and I don't know what all, and I looked up over one of them, and it says North Gate. And we kept on going through there, and pretty soon we come up on a young boy. And he says, "Ticket, please." And I says, "Friend, I don't have a ticket. I don't even know where it is that I'm going." I did. Well, he says, "Come out as quick as you can." And I says, "I'll do her. I'll turn right around the first chance I get." Well, we kept on moving through there. And pretty soon, everybody got where it was that they was a-going because they parted, and I could see pretty good. I could. And what I seen was this whole raft of people a-setting on these two banks and a-looking at one another across this pretty little green cow pasture. Well, they was. And somebody had tuck and drawed white lines all over it and drove posties in it, and I don't know what all. And I looked down there, and I seen five or six convicts a-running up and down and a-blowing whistles. They was. And then I looked down there, and I seen these pretty girls a-wearing these little bitty short dresses and a-dancing around. And so I sat down and thought I'd see what it was that was going to happen. I did. And about the time I got set down good, I looked down there and I seen 30 or 40 men come running out of one end of a great big outhouse down there. They did. And everybody where I was a-setting got up and hollered. And about that time, 30 or 40 come running out of the other end of that outhouse, and the other bank full, they got up and hollered. And I asked this fellow that was besetting beside of me, I says, "Friend, what is it that they're hollering for?" Well, he whopped me on the back and he says, "Buddy, have a drink." Well, I says, "I believe I will have another big orange." And I got it and sat back down. And when I got down there again, I seen that them men had got in two little bitty bunches down there. They had rail close together. And they voted. They did. They voted and elected one man apiece. And them two men come out in the middle of that cow pasture and shook hands like they hadn't seen one another in a long time. And then a convict come over to where they was a-standing, and he took out a quarter, and they come into odd man right there. They did. Well, after a while, I seen what it was that there's odd man in for. It was that both bunches full of them men wanted this funny-looking little pumpkin to play with. They did, and I know, friends, that they couldn't eat it because they kicked it the whole evening and it never busted. But anyhow, what I was telling was that both bunches full wanted that thing. And one bunch got it, and it made the other bunch just as mad as they could be. And friends, I seen that evening the awfulest fight that I have ever seen in my life. I did. They would run at one another and kick one another and throw one another down and stomp on one another and grind their feet in one another and I don't know what all. And just as fast as one of them would get hurt, they'd tote him off and run another one. Well, they'd done that as long as I sat there. But pretty soon, this boy that had said, "Ticket, please," he come up to me and he says, "Friends, you're going to have to leave because it is that you don't have a ticket." And I says, "Well, all right." And I got up and left. And I don't know, friends, to this day what it was that there's a doing down there, but I have studied about it. And I think that it's some kindly of a contest where they see which bunchful of them men can take that pumpkin and run from one end of that cow pasture to the other without either getting knocked down or stepping in something.